Hello, my name is Larissa Compulsivita. I always begin everything with a ones of prayers. So we're going to everyone be quiet, and we're not going to talk over one another. We're going to say a prayer, and then we'll get started. Quiet. Okay. Say the serenity prayer again. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not Larissa's, be done. Amen. I want to let you know that I am so grateful that all of us are here together and that we are here to celebrate each other and love, for God has so gratefully given us the opportunity to do, and that is to be here together. Each time we are able to come together, it's a truly wonderful blessing from God. And I think it's a gift. It's just like my absence is a gift every day. This program is a gift every day. So now we're going to get started with another part of the program, because, you know, the most important part, you know, is for Larissa, is that you eat. So we've already done that. So now we're going to go into the next part, important part of the program. We have three wonderful speakers tonight. And my co-chair is Tom. Tom is going to be the one that's going to introduce each one of the speakers. Tom, will you come forward and do that? So I'm going to turn it over to Tom. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Larissa. Good evening, everyone. I'm Tom. I'm a compulsive eater. I want to thank Larissa for her service. It was a real honor to be asked to serve as co-chair by Larissa. I couldn't say no. So I'm here tonight, and we've done our best over the last year to assemble a roster of some of the most dynamic and inspiring people in the program to share their experience, strength, and hope with you all. Tonight we have a panel of three men, Terry, John, and Jose, who will each speak for 15 to 20 minutes. And without any further ado, I'd like to call Terry up to the stage. Thank you, Terry.
I'm a little nervous. Bear with me. My name is Terry, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Terry.
First of all, a big hand to everyone for being here. And for the committee that made this all possible, and all the volunteers that worked to make this possible. And especially for Marty, Larissa, and Tom. I don't think I've spoke, well, certainly in Seattle, I've never spoke to a room this big, this many people. This feels like one of my family reunions, a giant room full of a lot of people that are compulsive eaters. But a little different in that none of us are compulsive eating, or at least not tonight, right? One meal at a time, that's the way we do it, right? So, I come from, I was born and raised in New Mexico. I am the youngest child of my mother, who was the youngest of seven. And I have had 37 cousins. Some of them have passed away from this disease. So I come from good pedigree of compulsive overeaters. You know, we're a big boned, you know, you've heard that excuse. Oh, well, I'm big boned. We're a big boned, you know, big hearted, big-bodied family, you know. It wasn't unusual for many of my aunts to, particularly the women, I'm sorry, but I don't know why, but particularly the women all seemed to weigh 300 plus, 350, some was pretty common for the adults. And the men worked a lot, so they, you know, and we're kind of lucky, aren't we, guys? You know, it comes off a little easier for us when we're doing better. You know, I first heard about, I mean, I know I'm a compulsive overeater for a long time, but I first heard about a food eating program or compulsive eating program, 1994, Hal Gray Sheet, you know, and I went to meetings and I became a member, and this was, I don't know, it lasted 3 or 4 months, 5 months, I don't remember exactly, but I worked the food plan part of it pretty well, but that was about it, because I was just interested in a diet that worked. I had tried a lot of diets. My experience is none of them work, or certainly don't work for very long. That's my experience. But it worked. I lost some weight. I felt better, looked better. I went on to get married. That's why I came to that program, and that's why I was doing that to lose weight, is because I wanted to look good for my wedding photos, and I got married in 1994. I didn't know at the time that this person would be the person that would bring me back to this program after I left for about 22 years by an attraction of this program. She stepped out tonight. She's here tonight, but she stepped out for a few minutes and she'll be back. Some of you probably know her. Her name is Jo R. And yeah, a round of applause for Jo R. You know, we have two children together. We are now ex. I heard the term today, husband. I'm her husband, you know, so. But she and I are best of friends, and that's only because of the way this program has taught us how to live our lives and the type of people we've become. You know, compulsive overeating has caused me so much pain, you know. My family, we were big in, parts of my family were big into raising cattle, so. You know, if you were in northern New Mexico, southern New Mexico, there might be a steak on your, I'm not supposed to talk about food, even at a dinner, I guess. The meat on your plate might have come from my family or one of my family members. Anyway, a lot of the pain that I had in my life caused by being overweight was a direct result, of course, of all of that, that love. You know, that's what food was, and feeding one another in our families was about a way of showing love. You know, I didn't know at the time what that would turn out to be. But years later, I heard the term obese. I knew I had a weight problem already, but a doctor on a report that I read, he said I was obese. And, you know, I knew that. You know, I was big boned, right? I knew I was big boned, and I knew that was okay because, but about that time, at that age, I started having relatives die from complications from being obese. And I thought, oh, I don't want to do this. So I was working at trying to do better than that. And I wasn't doing that well. I remember summer times. There's this product that we were familiar with in where I grew up called Bag Balm, and it's a cream that they put on the udders of cows because of the chafing. They get too sore to be milked, right? So I would use that on my inner thighs in the summertime, you know, because that rawness is a real big pain. So anyway, a lot of shame and pain behind my being obese and my struggle with compulsive eating. I remember an experience where a mentor of mine, an employer of mine, and I was doing a task. I was down on the floor, and it was time to get up, and I reached my hand up, and he looked down at me. This is a triathlete, like an amazing man, and he looked down at me, and he stepped back, and he looked at me, and he just laughed and laughed. And he said, wow, you really are like a beached whale, aren't you? And that kind of stuff hurts, you know? In 2015, I had three chins. You know, I was rather heavy, and I thought, oh, the answer is if I could just lipo one of these chins, you know, I'd be okay. You know, and I was really pretty close on the verge of that. And luckily, Joe R. was in the program and had been in the program for a while, and we were obviously raising children together, even though we were apart at that point. But she was mirroring what this program is about, you know? So she was dealing with our tumultuous situation and the turmoil in our family with a level of dignity and grace that I had never witnessed before. And I thought, I want to see what that's about. So I got invited to two meetings. I don't remember which one came first. One was to hear her speak at Sunday Encino meeting, and one was to celebrate a birthday, her birthday for 2 years. And I went to that meeting, and I listened to what you guys said. And I knew on the fringe because she had been telling me a little bit, but she wouldn't give me the food plan. I wanted the diet because I didn't want to do what she was doing, but I wanted to have the results she had. So she wouldn't do it, you know? And I went to the meeting, and after the meeting, she said, and you guys were all crazy, I knew that, you know? And probably liars, because there were people got up and said it kept off hundreds of pounds or hundreds of pounds for X amount of time. They hadn't had sugar in 30 plus years. And I thought, oh, BS. No way. It's humanly impossible where I came from to do that is what I thought. So at the end of the meeting, I was trying to probe her for that food plan and ask some more questions. I've done my penance. I've come to the two of these things, and you're going to give me that plan, right? And she said, you need to talk to somebody else. So at the end of the meeting, I went and got on my motorcycle, and I was leaving the parking lot. I wasn't going to talk to anybody else. And at the end of the parking lot driveway, Jonathan Lawrence and Suzanne at the beach were standing there. This was February, I don't know the exact date, 5th, 6th, something like that, and of 2016. And I stopped for some reason, you know, the little pause for the miracle. I stopped at the end of the driveway, and I raised up my visor, and I started talking to them. And I talked for, I don't know how long. I think I was told later that it probably took 30 minutes before I even lifted my helmet, you know? I didn't even turn off my bike for a while. Anyway, I remember at the end of listening to everything they had to say, 15, 20 minutes talk, 30 minute talk, whatever it was. And I was asked, so are you going to do it? What do you think? Can you do this? I said, oh, no. I said, why not? I said, it's too rigid. I said, and Jonathan said, no, it's structured and disciplined. Simple little play in words, but it stuck. And then he told me about a Tuesday night Granada Hills meeting, and he said, maybe you'll come to that meeting. And if you come to that meeting, I'll be there. So I thought, okay, I'll go. So I talked to Joanne. She helped me devise a plan to start my abstinence. And in the morning, I had a food plan. I had prepared what I was going to have and I didn't have anyone to commit it to her, but her at that point, but that's okay. I had committed a piece of fruit as part of my breakfast. And this is the first really strong food program miracle I've had, and I've had a few more, but I committed this piece of fruit, and I went, and I don't live alone, or didn't live alone at that time, still don't, but anyway, I went to the refrigerator, and it wasn't there. Yes. Exactly. That's what, yeah, right? Someone stole my food. Now, of course, I didn't take care to tell my family that I was living with. I didn't say, hey, I'm not, you know, I you know, it was all my fault. But it happened, and I thought God did it to me. And I said, oh, no, F this, F that. I'm not supposed to do this. I knew it. I was a big bone person, will be for the rest of my life. This can't work for me. I can't be one of those smiling, happy people with tons of abstinence. It's just not going to happen. So I was going to get in my car, and I was going to drive away to this little shop where I got coffee and pastries in the morning. And I walked in the lobby. I'm a property manager, and it's a 150-unit building. 2 years I'd been there, I'd never seen any food left in the lobby. We didn't even have a table for it. There was a bench. I walked into the lobby, and so I'm still there, by the way. 12 years later, I've never seen any food in the lobby since. Tell me this, you know, odd or God, you decide. I walked in the lobby, and not only was there a basket of fruit that looked good, but it was the exact fruit that I had committed. And I thought, wow, maybe someone wants me to do this. You know, maybe he's going to help me. And I started my abstinence. It was February 9th, 2016. But, and I'll say, I say but, because thank you very much. That's left, right? Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. So I started my abstinence, and I did everything right. You guys told me what I needed to do. I said, I'm going to do this. I am going to be the best you guys have ever seen, you know? So I started following the food plan, of course. You know, literature and writing, my morning question, my answer, calling my sponsor, getting commitments. You know, that meeting that I didn't want to belong to, I became the secretary of that meeting. And I was doing everything I could. I joined the intergroup. Remember, Lois? I was there. And you guys taught me how. You gave me the tools to be able to do this way of life. And ego. That's the bottom line. It's ego, you know? Edging God out. I started thinking, well, I'm doing so well. You know, I dropped 86 pounds in 6 months. I got to my abstinence, you know, my goal weight. I was maintaining for roughly 2 years, a little over 2 years. I thought, this is easy. I don't need 7 tools. I can do it on 3, et cetera, et cetera. I think most of us have probably been there, right? You know, well, I know this is about that much. And this, if it's shaped about the size of these pudgy fingers, that's about 4 ounces, whatever. So I just started changing the rules, and I started deciding I could do this, and I started taking credit. I got real cocky, you know? I forgot the miracle that God had given me when he provided that piece of fruit for my start. And today, it amazes me that I forgot that. What's also amazing is I went into the gutter of my disease again. I gained 60-plus pounds. I lied to people about my abstinence. I struggled to feel like I fit into the meetings, and I would go to meetings, and I didn't fit in. And all these tools that you had given me, I visualize it as if I'm a mountain climber, and I'm on the peak of this mountain, and it's slippery, it's raining, it's everything. I got up there because I had the tools to get up there, but now I'm up there, and shit's hit the fan, so to speak, and I don't have a tool in sight. Hiking poles, I don't need these. I'm awesome. You know, the ego said, these shoes, no, you don't need them. You could do this barefooted. Well, that's kind of what had happened, you know? And luckily, some people kept in touch with me. And a motorcycle riding buddy of mine, Kevin H. up in Missouri, I kept in touch with. And he called me one day and told me he was coming to L.A. And I said, I really need to get abstinent. Every day I woke up knowing I was a miserable F and fat to boot. And somehow my head said, I have got to get abstinent. I have to get abstinent. Not we have to get me abstinent. Not God has to help me. But I was still in that place. I have to do this before I can go back and let those people see me. And I asked him if he would sponsor me if he came. He said, my sponsor already told me I already am sponsoring you. That makes me cry. That touches my heart so heavily, because that's the love that we wrap each other in these rooms, you know? That's an example of what we give to one another. This is a we thing. I can't do it. I can't do it for one day. I'm blessed to have 5 sponsees right now. 3.5 of them are doing really good. You know, the 5 of them, they're all doing good. You know, they're all doing great. Because I'll tell you, one of the things I've learned, until recently I used to say, well, I came into the program, I was here for this long, and now I'm back, and I've been here this long. By the way, this long is 2 years, 3 months, and 18 days, right? Thank you. I've lost, with your help and God's help, I've lost the 63 pounds that I needed to lose, and I'm maintaining over 100 pounds down from my top weight. I came in here with a 48-inch waist. Well, my top was a 48. I came in here with a 44, and I've been wearing 34s for 19 months. Yeah, thank you. You know, when I was out there rolling around the gutter, what I found out was without a doubt, was my binger is broken, right? I can't do this. So what do I got left? The solution. Thank you guys for telling me about the solution. You know, I go to a lot of meetings and I see a lot of people struggling, and I'm grateful to be there, and I'm grateful that they're there, because when I go to meetings, the truth is right there in front of me. You can see the people that are working it and how their lives are going, and you can see the people that are struggling. And both are true and real, and I can pick. And I know how I pick. Every day I wake up and I say, I'm a compulsive eater, and I know 110% that I have this disease and it will never leave me. I will always be a compulsive eater. And then I say to myself, every day I do this, it's been working, I keep doing it. I would say to myself, and nothing is more important than getting to my pillow abstinent today. I think the same might be true for you. So thank you very much for letting me talk.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hold on, Dave.
Thank you so much, Terry. That was wonderful. Next up is John. John, come up.
Hi, I'm John, and I'm a compulsive eater. I came back to the program November 25th, 2023, after being away for 10 years and a 100-pound weight gain. And I wish I could say I've been absent all that time, but I did have a slip in April. So April 12th is my abstinent date, but I've joined the 100-pound club both directions. When I came back, I was 100-plus over, and when I weighed in this past Saturday, I was 101 pounds down. So it's really, really nice to be down. I'll get more into my history with CEA Hal, but I want to go back to a little bit of how I think I got there. I grew up in a family that had plenty of dysfunction, and most of that dysfunction was centered around my father. He struggled greatly with rage and with miserliness and with isolation. And all of his rage was focused on my mother. It never was focused on my older sister, 12 years older brother, 9 years older, or me. His rage was always focused on our mother. So we grew up in a house where we always kind of walking on eggshells, worried about what kind of mood dad's going to be in, because at times he was not only very emotionally abusive, he was very physically abusive. But not as often as emotionally abusive, but he was physically abusive at times. I've fortunately have learned in the program not to dwell on that, not to live on resentments, but I say that more to say it was a very conducive environment to turn to food for comfort. I turned for, you know, and that's what I did. I turned to food for all the pain that I was feeling during that time. I through my inventory process, I kind of realized that's part of my low self-esteem is the idea of I must not be worth very much if my father continues to act like this. He doesn't love me enough to try to act normal or whatever, you know. So that's a painful thing. So it was a very conducive environment to turn to food for comfort, and I did. During my childhood and teenage years, my weight could go either direction. I remember seeing pictures with me of looking overweight. I remember my older sister, after she got married, trying to encourage me to go on a diet, and we actually started to go on a diet. And then I've seen pictures of me that look pretty normal. And I think it was all kind of dependent upon my physical activity. If I was staying physically active enough, my weight could stay down, but I was still a compulsive eater. I just was staying physically active enough not to show a lot of signs of it. But when that really started to change was my freshman year in college, because when I went to college, I was wanting to do well with my studies. So I became much more sedentary and much less active. I went to a school for the first 2 years that they required people to have a decent suit, because they had various formal activities during the year that they expected you to wear a formal suit, a nice suit, to. So my mother actually had to give my sister some money, and we went out to a nice department store and got a nice three-piece suit because I didn't own one. You know, at that time, I didn't own one. But I remember going to that college feeling really good. I had this three-piece vested suit. Vests were in back then. I don't remember seeing them anymore. I don't remember seeing vests. But back then it was. And at that school, it was pretty much a eat as much as you like type thing at the dining commons. And so I throughout that year, I went from having a very nice suit to wear in a three-piece suit to not being able to fit in it. You know, I couldn't get the vest tied, I mean, buttoned up across my stomach. And my suit, the coat itself had to come over here, couldn't bring it across my stomach. So that was when it really started to manifest itself of my weight. And continued through school. But then when I got out of school, the economy wasn't too good. And I wound up working at Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers in management. And I don't know if any of you have ever worked there. I know Terry told me he did once. They had this policy at Wendy's that management could eat for free. And that, you know, what's that like telling a compulsive eater you can eat whatever you want for free? So, you know, during that time, that's not me, right? No. During that time, I got engaged and I got married. And I really don't like to look at the wedding album because my wife looks, she's deceased now for over 5 years, but she was beautiful, petite, just looked lovely. But I just hated the way I looked at my wedding pictures, that I looked that bad for my wife on our wedding day. But that's the way it was. It continued that way for about 20 years. Primarily, what I would try to do for my weight would be exercise and willpower diets. But my problem with exercise is I would exercise, I'd walk 5 miles maybe, and then my keen intellectual addict mind would calculate, I can probably eat this much more because I walk this much. And I think my keen intellectual addict mind would tend to overestimate how much I could eat. So I didn't really lose that way. And then as far as willpower diets, there's two reasons I think I didn't look for help. One was I'm cheap. I didn't want to pay, you know, Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or anybody else to help me lose weight. And two, I'm arrogant. You know, that once again, this keen intellectual addict mind was going to figure out somehow how to lose the weight and eat like a gentleman. But it never happened. So eventually, I got into a fellowship for another addiction around 1999 and doing well with that. And I'm saying, man, they must have something out there for food. And at the time, OA was about all we had in Western Pennsylvania. And I tried it, and it was just, for me, it did not work. It just didn't have the structure I needed and just didn't work. And then at that time, there was they were trying to get organized for CEA Howe in our area. I went to an organizational meeting. It wasn't a regular meeting. It was an organizational meeting where they were talking. I think it was, they were talking about going from OA Howe to CEA Howe. And so I sat there and listened in the meeting and walked out noncommittal. I thought you guys were crazy and a bunch of food Nazis. So I just, you know, stepped away from it for long enough. I needed to hurt a little more. My addiction needed to beat up on me a little more. And it eventually did. It was the first Sunday of November, I remember. I had finally in October had gotten beaten up enough of 2004. I'd gotten beaten up enough that I knew that they had a CEA Howe meeting. Ever in Southwest Pennsylvania, we had a small fellowship, probably about 15 people, and two or three of us were men. And we worked hard to keep enough meetings going so that we could do the three meetings a week at least. But I went to a meeting. It was on my college campus that I graduated from. I think there were three people. There was a girl from the college checking it out. There was me, And then there was the person from CEA Howe leading the meeting. So I let this girl from the CEA, from the college, leave. And then I asked Denise, the person that was leading the meeting, to be my sponsor. So that would have been around the first Sunday of November 2004. And I was very pleasantly surprised. I'm sitting there going in totally apprehensive of how can I survive on this amount of food? And it worked out beautifully. You know, very first day I got abstinent, stayed that way, and dropped the weight. I say that I'm, back then I was a high bottom addict, because if I got the 40 to 60 pounds overweight, I was ready. I got to do something about the way I feel. But so I lost the 40 to 60 pounds relatively quickly. But, you know, step two got to me. As far as it says being restored to sanity. And what do I need to be restored to sanity for? Well, the big book talks about the alcoholic having the insane thought process that once he gets sober, he can go back out there and drink like a gentleman. Well, my insane thought process was, I love being at my goal weight. This is the only time I can really remember in my adult life of being at my goal weight and staying there. And I know the food plan. So obviously, if I go back out there on my own, I am going to follow the food plan and keep my weight down. Well, it didn't. You know, I started changing my portions. I let sugar and flour back into my system, and boom, gained all the weight back. And between that time and 2013, I did that at least two more times, maybe three or four more times. And the two times, I did very well again. I got in, lost the weight, and all that sort of thing. But second time, I once again went back out there. That third time, I was in for 26 months. I went from June of 2011 to August of 2013. Back then, I don't know when you started journaling on the traditions, but we didn't find out about it in Western Pennsylvania. So I had finished all the regular journaling questions, and my sponsor had me journaling on As Bill Sees It, and I had journaled up through the first 200 pages more, plus of As Bill Sees It during that time. So I was really doing it pretty well during that 26 months. But once again, the insane thought process came back, and I went back out there. And I almost at the time vowed, I'm not going back. I'm just using this place for the vanity. I'm not really having any kind of spiritual change in me. I'm kind of being disrespectful of them because I'm just using it for the vanity and not trying to get to the sanity. So this time, I was out there for 10 years till November of 2023. I remember at the beginning of November, I had my annual checkup with my doctor. And I went to that checkup a very discouraged and despondent person. Just, what am I going to do? I actually asked him for a prescription to see a nutritionist, and he gave it to me. And then after I left that doctor's appointment, I started getting some clarity of thought. And I said, getting honest with myself, that you know what? The only thing that's ever worked in my life is CEA Howe. That's the only thing that I've ever been successful with. So I had the week of Thanksgiving off that year from vacation and holiday time, and I was very pleasantly surprised to find out about Zoom meetings. So I started attending Zoom meetings all that week and started the program officially on the 25th. That one picture, that one right there, that was right around the time I started that profile picture. The other picture wasn't trying to be morbid. Was there two pictures? Yeah, I wasn't trying to be morbid with my brother's funeral. It was more of the sadness that I was so big I couldn't fit into a suit to go to my brother's funeral. You know, I was just really disgusted with myself because I couldn't, I didn't have a suit that I could fit into to go to my brother's funeral. Now I do, if I have to go to a funeral. But I don't, went in hell. But yeah, that was what I brought that one about for. But anyhow, what I'm focusing on now is there's a lot of promises in the program, but the and we read the ones from step 9 a lot at the end of the meetings, but there's one in step 12, actually, I think. The first phrase of step 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. So that pretty much kind of promises you work these steps, you'll have this spiritual awakening. And that's what I'm focusing on this time. I'm trying to stay away from the vanity. You know, I really like having lost the weight again and that sort of thing, but, you know, I want to really focus on the sanity and working the steps. And because in the step 2 section of the big book, 1 and 2 in there, it says it's the only effective mental defense against the compulsive thought that I can go back out there and eat like a regular person. So that's my goal for this time. And thank you very much.
Thank you for your service, John. Really appreciate it. Okay, Jose is going to close us out tonight.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jose. I'm a compulsive eater. Let me clarify something they asked me to clarify. My first language is Spanish, so I'm bilingual. I speak English and Spanish, actually triple, because I speak Spanglish too. Okay. I'm going to talk about a little bit about my story. I was made in the USA, but I was born in Mexico. I was born in Tijuana. My mom used to live in Sacramento. My sister, that is a year older than me, she was born over there. And then they decided to go to Tijuana, which is not far from here. And after a month that they left, I was born over there. My father used to be one of the first farmers who came from Mexico to help with most of the men were at war. So I was born in Mexico, but I'm really proud where I was born, you know, because it was decided I was born there. I used to live on a situation where it was almost, it was some food, but not enough food. I think I was there until I was like 17 or 18. And then I came to live here in LA. My first job was in a restaurant. That's when the literature said I have my encounter with food. And then I was really happy because I always wanted to be happy. Now I'm happy. But I was thinking the food will make me happy. I used to see my dad drinking and he was happy. He used to give us a few pennies maybe or something. And then that thing in my mind said, I want to be happy. But happiness for me was, you know, drink a lot, eat a lot. Why? Because they didn't have a program. I don't think there was programs at the time. So they only can give me what they have. But most of these things I realized it here when I started working the program. You know, I didn't know anything. That doesn't mean that I know a lot right now, but I'm still learning. I remember when they passed me the message to go to the program, I didn't want it to go. I wanted to lose weight, but I didn't want it to stop eating. I never been in a diet, but when I was going to the store, sometimes I was looking for a diet that I can lose weight, without stop eating. And that's impossible. You know, if I eat, I'm gonna gain all my weight that I lost. When I went to the program, I was really nervous because I was not used to being around people. And at that time that I started going into the groups, there was always a lot of people in the groups. And I was really, really nervous. I was afraid because I didn't know how to talk to somebody else, or, you know, I was always hiding. Always hiding. And then finally after, you know, I was feeling bad from not because I was overweight. I was feeling bad the way I was, like something like on the inside. And then when I decided to join the program, like I say, I was afraid. Because I remember the first meeting that I went, there was people there. And I remember when they got to the front and start talking, they were talking really nice. And then I say, I can never do that. I can never do that. And then, you know, I was feeling so bad that I decided to risk it. And I finally got on a sponsor after like seven to eight times that I went to a meeting. I got a sponsor and I said, well, I'm gonna do, no matter what it takes, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna risk it. The little bit that I understood when I went to the meetings, they used to talk about 30 questions, the first 30 questions. And, you know, my crazy mind was telling me, maybe when you do the 30 questions, then you're going to lose your weight. And then you can leave and start eating again and never gain any weight. But that was impossible. When I start, I kept going to the meeting. Like I say, I got my sponsor. And then he told me, when you have 7 days, you can go to the front and chair. And I was afraid. I was going to the big meeting, so there was no time for me to, you know, they had used to make a line. And when my sponsor asked me, I told him I went to a meeting, but there was no time for me. You know, there was a lot of people. But the reason was that I was afraid. I was afraid. And he told me, he was a really good sponsor. He told me the most that you try to do the program, it will be better for you. And he was right. I remember one time, I went to a meeting over here in Pico Rivera, because I used to live here. Now I live in Phoenix. I've been living in Phoenix for over 10 years. And I went to that meeting and I was shaking. You know, I went to the front and I think it was the chair about for 3 minutes. I don't think I last 1 minute. And that was it. But they gave me the welcome. They told me, so they treat me really good. And that was really good for me because they motivated me to continue on the meetings. And I started working. I remember I got a service at that meeting. It was like a compromise to me because I have to go there. I have to go there every Monday, and I was the treasurer. I didn't like that service because at the end of the month, I was counting the money and it was less than was in the book. And then I counted again and it was more. So, but it was, to me, was a really good beginning, you know, to do service. And I've been doing service since then, and that's what it helped me to keep on the program. But I remember before I joined the program, I used to work here. I used to go to the rich people houses. And as soon as they leave, I go to the refrigerator and start taking some of the food. But I was really smart. I was acting smart, according to me. Because I was taking a little bit of everything so that they won't notice. So they won't notice. Then when I joined the program, everything stopped. Because I started learning in the program, and I knew that was wrong. You know, I have to be honest. I have to open my mind too and start learning about the program. When I was going to the meetings, I started believing in the people, because first I didn't believe when they were sharing. I said, well, they're just trying to convince me. And then they said there was no charge. And they said, that cannot be possible, because most of the other kinds of groups, they charge you some money. So I kept working the program. My sponsor told me to be careful with emotions, because good or bad emotions or regular emotions can take me out of the program. I was already 4 years in abstinence, and I decided I already learned everything about the program. Even in my crazy mind, it occurs that I can do a program like this. But it will be my program. The seventh tradition, it will be for me. I won't send any money to Intergroup or World Service. But that was only a bet that for one day. Because I said, the program has been working since AA was found. And it's about the same program. So if I change anything, it won't work. Because I learned in this program that this program is to help another people. Not to push them, only to pass my experience. They ask me how you did it, then I can tell them, I know a program, I start working a program, and if you wanna do it, just I invite you to a meeting. And then, like I say, I was already 4 years in abstinence, and then I left the program. I decided to leave the program. I said, I can do it myself. I have I don't know if it was already the forever abstinence, but I said, I have the menu. I know what I don't have to eat. I don't have to eat flour, sugar. But that lasts me probably 2 to 3 weeks. When I opened my eyes, I was already at the buffet trying to eat everything. And it took me 4.5 years to come back to the program. I was, you know, I was focused on the holidays because there's a lot of food on the holidays when you're not in the program. So as soon as this holiday passes, and this, my birthday, whatever, all the excuses, I was already gaining my weight. The first time I came to the program, I wasn't sick or anything at all. Well, I didn't notice because I wasn't going to the doctor. After the 4.5 years that I was out, I went to my doctor. And she told me, you already have a high sugar, you have cholesterol. She said, you have to do something, otherwise I have to give you medicine. And I told my doctor, don't worry, I know where is the place. All I have to do is come back. And I came back to the program thinking that they were gonna say something to me. Why you left? You gained your weight already. And I was anonymous now. The people were on the door waiting for me. And when I finally decided to come back, those people that I thought they would say something, they were gone. Or that maybe they went to another group, who knows? But they give me welcome again, give me hugs that I never had hugs before. I learned in the program how to give hugs and receive hugs. And I start working the program again. And I start losing my weight again. And I don't know if it was the first time or the second time they told me I have to wait, I have to work on my interior weight. Because that one, I cannot notice it. But I decide to work on my traumas, you know. I was afraid of doing my fourth and fifth step. But I say, well, I'm gonna do it no matter what. I think one of the fears when I left is that I was like three quarters of my fourth step. But I was afraid to give it to somebody. Because that wasn't in me, you know, always being shy and all that. And I decided, well, you know, when I came back to the program, I threw it away and I start from the first question again. And that helped me a lot because after I did when I was doing my second inventory, I had to make peace with my mom. Because I didn't have a good relation with my mom when my dad is there. And I started working. I remember my mom, when I used to tell her something, she'd cry. And then my sister told me, every time you come, my mom cry. Told her because it's necessary for her and for me. And after I work with her, my relationship changed. I start giving her hugs, and she start giving me hugs too, things that it wasn't done before. And then I work with my dad too, the same thing, you know, because I needed to be well myself, to be good, you know, to take those things from inside of me, because they were bothering me a lot. And they would want me to go back to eat. Because why? Because I used to feel happy when I was eating. And I always wanted to be happy. When I start working this program teach me that I can be happy without alcohol and without a lot of food, you know. Because when I came to the program and I saw the serving of the food, I thought it was just a little bit. I said, I was gonna be hungry all the time. I'm gonna have a headache. I'm not gonna be able to do my work because I used to work on construction. And then after a while, I realized that I was better than before the program. I was able to do my work easy. My mind was open, and I was able to progress in my work, not to stay on the same place, you know, to start doing things that to me were impossible. And all of that just start when I start listening to the people. And that was the help that I always needed from people just like you. You know, when they were chairing at the meetings, I started listening, and that's what I have my. I guess that's when I decide that I am from this program, and this is the only place that I know that it works. It works, but I have to work it too. You know, my sponsor cannot work it for me. He does his part, and I have to do my part. And I work my program just for today, because that's all I have. The past is already past, and tomorrow, I don't know if it's gonna be a tomorrow. So I keep working my program. Like I said before, I've been doing service, but the service is for me. I don't do a favor to nobody by doing service. I'm doing a service for me because that will maintain me on the program. You know, and that's what I'm here, still here, and I'm gonna be here. If it's up to me, I could be gone tomorrow, who knows. But now I can see a big difference, you know, when I was, before I came to the program, the way I used to feel and the way I feel now. Now I'm surrounded by really nice people with a lot of knowledge. That when they speak, they always giving me something, you know, and it's up to me to take it. So you know, the first time, like I say, now I did 15 minutes, and I couldn't even talk. I couldn't even talk to people, and now I can talk to people. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much to all three of you. That was a really powerful hour.